Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is found recorded in the Gospel of Mark in the 14th chapter, verses 12 to 16 and verses 22 to 25, where we read that on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." So far the text. Jesus' name, our beloved Savior, dear fellow redeemed, their ongoing summer sermon series on Bible truths presented in picture form by the tapestries hanging on the walls of our fellowship hall downstairs. We this morning want to focus our attention on the tapestry which has that familiar Last Supper painting of Leonardo da Vinci embroidered upon it. I picked this particular tapestry as the focus of today's meditation because, of course, it's Communion Sunday. I thought it especially appropriate, providing us with a special opportunity to give prayerful consideration to this blessed meal that Jesus instituted for our soul's highest good, at which we will also be honored guests later in the service today. The tapestry has again been reproduced, as you probably noticed, on the front of the bulletin, with a larger rendition of it on a bulletin insert. So let's consider how this Holy Supper instituted by Jesus is, in the words of our sermon theme, the supper that spans the ages, pointing to the past, bringing blessings to us in the present, and then also foreshadowing a still brighter future. First, a few comments on the painting itself. It was created by Leonardo da Vinci around the time of Luther, late 15th century. Da Vinci was commissioned to paint it as a mural on a wall of a monastery in Milan, Italy. Its dimensions, amazingly, and it took him like 3 years to complete, 15 by 30 feet. It represents the scene of the Last Supper as told by the evangelist John right after Jesus made the announcement that one of his apostles was going to betray him. And by the way, Leonardo da Vinci did use some artistic license in presenting his or producing his painting. Actually, as the Gospels show, Jesus and his disciples are reclining at the table, as was the custom of the Jews. Of course, you see Jesus in the center, And you can see how the artist pictured the consternation and shock on the faces of the disciples when he announced to them the news that one of you are going to betray me. And they're all looking at each other and saying to Jesus, "Is it I? Am I the one that's going to betray you?" And the third one to the right of Jesus with his elbow on the table, that's Judas with the dark hair. With his in his hand, he actually has a money bag, feigning ignorance to the dark deed he's about to do. The one right next to Jesus, to his right, is the evangelist John leaning over, and the man in the gray hair is Peter whispering in John's ear, "Ask Jesus who it is," which he then did. And then the Lord then made the announcement, "It is the one to whom I hand the bread after I've dipped it in the dish," and then he handed it to Judas. "What you do, do quickly," he said. And Judas then went out into the dark of the night to perform his deed of betrayal. But back to the illustration or the our text in which Jesus' celebration of the Lord's Supper is presented and his celebration of the Last Supper to begin with. The Last Supper took place, as noted in our text, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, also called the Passover, celebrated in commemoration of the goodness that God showed to his people centuries before in rescuing the Israelites from Egyptian slavery. Sure, you know that story of how when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let the Israelites go, the Lord sent 10 plagues upon the Egyptians, the last of which was the slaying of the firstborn of all men and beasts in Egypt. God instructed Moses to tell the people at this time, "Take from your flock a lamb, one for each of your families. Needs to be perfect, perfect specimen, no defects. Needs to be 1 year old, a male, in the prime of its life. And I want you to take it home, and I want you to care for it tenderly for 4 days. And then at twilight of the fourth day, slaughter it, taking care to break none of its bones. And then take its blood and smear it on the door frames of your homes. And I want you to roast the lamb meat with fire, eat it with bitter herbs, unleavened bread. In regard to your attire, what you're to wear, dress with your cloaks tucked under your belt, sandals on your feet, and a staff in your hand like people who are getting ready to go on a trip and who need to move quickly. On that night, the Lord's going to pass through Egypt. He's going to bring swift judgment on all the idol-worshipping Egyptians by striking all their firstborns. That the blood that you painted onto your doorframes when I see it will be a sign to pass you over so that no one who lives under this roof will be struck by the terrible plague." And there are other instructions God gave to Moses, pretty detailed, regarding the Passover celebration. Here in Exodus and then in the book of Numbers, it was to be celebrated annually going forward, every year at the same time. Actually was to be the beginning of the religious year, kind of like our Advent season. Menu they would eat in their celebrating was to include lamb or goat meat, bitter herbs as a reminder of the bitter slavery from which the Lord rescued them, bread made without yeast to remind them of how he had brought them out quickly. They wouldn't even have enough time to make bread with yeast in the dough and allow it to rise. "Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, 'What's the meaning of this festival?' then tell them, 'It's the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the house of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.'" So that, dear friends, was the meal that Jesus instructed his disciples to make preparations for that day, the last that he would observe with them, in addition to being a meal that pointed them backwards in time to the Lord's goodness, his merciful dealings with them in ages past, it also brought them blessings in the present. In fact, it would bring blessings to all believers, all ages of history. Our text records, you know the words well. But as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them. They all drank from it, and he told them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." You recognize those words, don't you, as the words of institution of the Lord's Supper, a meal that would supersede and supplant the Passover. This New Testament sacrament, in addition to being a reminder of God's love for his people in times past, would convey to all Jesus' disciples of all times and places everything that the Old Testament Passover pictured. Lamb for every family, that was a symbol of the coming Savior who would be sent for the salvation and redemption of all. Perfect specimen of a male lamb killed in the prime of its life with no bones being broken, symbolized, of course, Jesus. Perfect Son of God who would be crucified in the prime of his life at age 33 with no Roman soldier breaking his bones on the cross. Blood of the slaughtered lamb painted on the door frames, of course, a picture of the blood of Christ that would be poured out for everyone. Eaten with bitter herbs, the meal was a picture of the bitterness, not only of the slavery of the Israelites in Egypt, but of the spiritual slavery to the devil in which all human beings are born and from which Christ would release us. And the Lord passing over the homes marked by the blood of the Lamb, a picture of God passing over our sins and transgressions, not counting them against us for Jesus' sake. I say all these blessings that the Passover in the Old Testament pictured would actually be bestowed by the Lord and is bestowed through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Forgiveness for our sins, robe of holiness imputed to us by faith, the blessing of a quiet conscience, the certainty of an unending life in heaven upon completion of our trek through the desert of the world. Your body and your blood, once slain and shed for me, are taken at your table, Lord, in blessed reality. Actual blessings we receive through Jesus' true body and blood for our souls. And another blessing he bestows that deserves to be highlighted, which the Lord gives us through this supper, strength for Christian living, power for drowning our old Adam with its sinful desires through daily contrition and repentance, and for putting on the new man, that's the spiritual part that the Holy Spirit creates in our hearts by the gospel, the ability to do what Paul describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He says to us as New Testament Christians, get rid of the yeast, the old yeast, that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. That is, yeast, which is a picture of the contamination of sin. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. During the 7 days of the festival, God's people were not only required to bake bread with unleavened bread, bread without any yeast, but also they would remove all yeast from their homes, yeast being a symbol of sin that puffs people up in pride, sinful pride. And they were also, as we heard, to do no work, just celebrate and worship the Lord for his goodness. And that's what the Lord does for us through the Lord's Supper. He enables, he helps us to purge out the leaven of sin from our hearts more and more, and to live our lives more and more for his worship and praise. Now, a person might ask, my friend, you know, doesn't the Lord do this for us by the power of his word, even apart from the sacrament? The blessings that we have highlighted? The answer is yes. And you can rejoice in this when it is impossible, for example, circumstances beyond your control to partake of the Lord's Supper as often as you would like to, illness or miles distant away or whatever the circumstance may be. But it's also true, and it's been said, that it's possible for a person to hear the gospel message, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and yet to wonder, do these words of Jesus apply to little old me? Well, the Lord knew that, temptation would be present, be dangled in front of us by the devil to have spiritual doubt. So, therefore, in love, he instituted this supper as a means to personally assure us. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me, died that I might live on high, that lived that I might never die. You might think of it also in this way, as like when a husband, in addition to telling his wife he loves her, gives her a card or a bouquet of flowers she can see. And even so, Jesus, in addition to telling us continually in his word, I love you, I'm committed to you, I forgive you as your Savior and Lord, assures us in his supper in a tangible way that the body and blood he gave for the whole world, he gave for each of you personally. And that is why he invites us to receive it often, to love it, to hunger and thirst for it, to crawl over broken glass to receive it, to respond to his gracious invitation by gladly saying, I come, O Savior, to thy table. For weak and weary is my soul. Thou bread of life alone art able to satisfy and make me whole. Lord, may your body and your blood be for my soul the highest good. And all the while, keeping in mind also, dear friends, that the Lord's Supper foreshadows a still brighter future. He told his disciples that night, assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in God's kingdom. Jesus was referring to the time when they would be blessed to enjoy a meal with him, fellowship with him in the heavenly banquet hall. It is no accident that he used the imagery frequently of festive dinners to picture the joys that await us in yonder world. The kingdom of heaven, he said in a parable, it's like a king preparing a wedding banquet. I say to you, many will come from the east and west to take their places at the feast with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in God's kingdom. And in the book of Revelation, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He used such pictures because, and we can relate to this, meal celebrations, wedding banquets, confirmation, anniversary receptions, occasion where there's a party atmosphere and we enjoy fellowship, camaraderie, solidarity in company with loved ones and dear friends. And so it will be when the Savior ushers you through the door of heaven into his heavenly banquet hall. You will enjoy good times as never before, in fellowship with him, your gracious Lord, and with all his blood-bought saints. So, dear friends, praise the Lord for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Receive it as often as you can, and when you do so, may it serve as a reminder of the Lord's kindnesses to you in your past, his blessings for your soul each day of the present, and the future celebratory feast that you will enjoy with him in the life of the world to come. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Creator.